Cześć, tu Wiola. Uczymy się angielskiego poprzez naturalną konwersację i słuchanie. Jeśli chcielibyście czytać w trakcie słuchania, zapraszam na stronę naturalnyangielski.com, gdzie znajdziecie transkrypcję oraz tłumaczenia wszystkich odcinków.
Did you know that we use Latin words in English every day, even in the most basic phrases? I mean, we know that Latin is the base for Romance languages like Italian, Spanish, French, Portuguese, and Romanian, but as English evolved, it kept most of the Latin influence. Today's episode is not about the history of the phrases borrowed from Latin, but rather the usefulness and importance of those words and phrases today. When I say that the expressions I will list are used in everyday English, I truly mean it. Whether you realize it or not, everything I'm about to share is used in books, podcasts, emails, TV shows, and conversations you have with your friends, not just in medicine and education. Let's review 20 of the most useful Latin expressions in modern English, in alphabetical order. I wouldn't be surprised if you already use some of these in Polish conversations. Keep in mind, the pronunciations I'm about to give are American, because this is how we use them in American English. Number one is AM and PM, antemeridium, postmeridium. And what this means is before and after midday. For example, our workday starts at 9 a.m. sharp, so make sure to be here on time. And for p.m., let's make dinner plans for 6 p.m. and meet at our favorite restaurant right after work. No worries if you can't remember what a.m. and p.m. stand for. Most people don't remember or don't know it, but no one will ever ask you about it. Number two is ad hoc. In Latin, for this or for this purpose. This is more often used at work than casual conversations. What it means is for a specific or immediate purpose. For example, we created some ad hoc reports to show our boss why we didn't stick to our budget. Number three, ad lib, short for ad libitum, meaning in Latin, at one's pleasure or at one's discretion. And what it means is to improvise, to speak or perform without preparation. Here's an example. She forgot her notes, so she had to ad lib during the performance. You will hear ad lib when people speak about making movies, specifically when the actor went off script and improvised. Sometimes their improvisation is so good, it stays in the movie. Number four, ad nauseam. In Latin, to sickness or to the point of nausea. What it means is to a sickening degree. So for example, he talked about how amazing he is ad nauseam. Number five, alias. At another time or in another way in Latin. What it means is another name a person uses. So for example, the writer published her first book under an alias. Number six, alibi. In Latin means elsewhere or in another place. We use it as proof that a person was somewhere else when a crime happened. So, for example, he had a strong alibi. He was at work during the time of the incident. Number 7. Alter ego. In Latin, other self or other I. And we use it to mean another version of someone's personality. For example, on stage, he becomes his alter ego, loud, confident, and completely opposite from his everyday self. Number 8. Alma mater. In Latin, nourishing mother. We use it to mean the school or university you graduated from. For example, I recently started teaching at my alma mater. Number 9. Bona fide. In Latin, in good faith. We use it to mean genuine, real, authentic. We use it to emphasize something positive and real. For example, her next song will be a bona fide hit. Number 10, carpe diem. In Latin, pluck the day. Pluck, like plucking a fruit. We use it to mean seize the day, enjoy the moment. For example, he embraces the true carpe diem spirit and always finds new adventures. Number 11, caveat. In Latin, may he, she, or it beware. This one I also encounter more at work than in casual conversation, but it doesn't mean you can't use it daily. There are words and phrases that we find ourselves writing in a work email or saying at a work meeting so much that we carry that style of speaking and writing to our personal life sometimes. Maybe one day I'll do an episode on that because it's an interesting thought. So caveat means a warning, caution, or specific limitations. For example, we were told we have a buyer for the house, but the caveat was that we would have to move out within 30 days. Number 12, consensus. In Latin, agreement. We use it to mean a general agreement when most people share the same view. For example, the consensus is that everyone on staff should get a raise. You can use this anytime you want to speak for the group and say that the group agrees on this one thing. 13. EG. In Latin, stands for exempli gratia, which means for example or such as. For example, in a sentence, I love warm drinks, e.g. tea or coffee. The next one is similar, but a little different. It's truly one of my favorites. I hear this all the time, but a lot of people mispronounce it. 14. Etc. or ETC. In Latin means and other things or and so forth. And how we use it is to mean and so on. For example, we need apples, bananas, oranges, etc. or etc. So when I say people mispronounce it, instead of saying etc. or etc., you'll often hear people say etc., etc., but it's actually et with a T. I always think of Polish people saying itd., which would mean the same thing in this case. Number 15, IE. In Latin, id est. And what we mean when we say IE is that is, or in other words. For example, he prefers simple food, i.e., meals with just a few ingredients. I.e. is used to clarify or make a statement more specific. People often confuse i.e. with e.g. The two are close in meaning, but they're not the same thing. One means in other words, and the other means for example. Number 16, per se, in Latin means by itself or in itself. And we use it to mean by itself, inherently. For example, the idea isn't wrong per se, but it needs to be more thought out. It's sort of like saying, this one thing isn't bad on its own, but something about it could be done differently or better. For the next one, I was going to list post-mortem, which means after death, but I would like to instead focus on postpartum. So number 17, postpartum, in Latin, after childbirth. And that's how we use it in regular English. The period of time following childbirth, specifically for the mother. For example, this doctor offers comprehensive postpartum care to new mothers. You will often hear people mention postpartum depression, which many women struggle with after having a baby. Moving on to number 18, status quo. In Latin, the state in which. We use it to mean the current situation or current state of things. For example, the countries are maintaining the status quo and not going to war. 19, verbatim. In Latin, word for word. In English, word for word. Example, if you heard me, repeat what I said verbatim. Number 20, last one, vice versa. In Latin, with the position having been reversed. In English, the opposite is also true, or the other way around. For example, she helps him, and vice versa. Okay, that was a lot, but it wasn't all. I kept the list short with phrases you must get familiar with, but there are lots and lots more I could add. If I'm going to help you understand regular daily English, it's important that I point out these types of influences that English speakers use to help communicate their ideas. So if you like this type of episode, let me know, and I can always create more related content. Quo vadis did not make the list, sorry, but it's a phrase often used in my Polish household, and so I want you to know that it's alive in my Polish heart. Thank you for your time today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode or any other episode, write me an email at viola@naturalnyangielski.com. Until next time.